KVOE Live and local, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. I'm Ron Thomas, hosting today, and we're pleased to be joined once again by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center, located right here in Emporia at 1401 West 12th. Good morning, Dr. Wazir. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Ron?
Doing good. Well, thanks for taking some time, as always, to join us. Always good to talk to you.
Absolutely. It's a beautiful day today.
It really is. And how are things at the Central Care Cancer Center?
Pretty good. Ron, did you catch the eclipse?
Yeah, we did get the eclipse in, and pretty fascinating.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I don't think we didn't have a lot of coverage. I saw some out of the clinic, but we didn't get the totality, but it's pretty neat still. So.
Yeah, I think we had like 87%, something like that here. So it was not the totality, but it was pretty close. But yeah, it's pretty fascinating stuff to look at, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Well, Dr. Wazir joins us monthly here on KVOE, and we're very happy that he does. Shares a lot of great information every month here on the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. And today we want to touch on colorectal cancer. Well, let's talk about colorectal cancer, Dr. Wazir. Let's get the overview on colorectal cancer.
Yeah, you know, I think we talked about this last year as well, but, you know, any chance you get, we need to talk about colorectal cancer. And I guess the update on that is that there's a recent study published, and this got a lot of press, so you may have heard of it. You know, now we can show, we have shown conclusively that all over the country, there has been a very clear trend in increase of rates of both rectal and colon cancer in folks who are under the age of 40, which is a very scary kind of thought because, you know, after many years, they were able to move the screening from age 50 to age 45, and these are folks who are getting cancer before that. So that just, you know, kind of highlights for us the importance of, like, public education about colon cancer. So, you know, colon and rectum are, you know, part of a continuum, right? So this includes, you know, all cancers after the ileocecal valve. So anatomically, you know, when we talk about colon cancer, we're talking about large bowel cancers. You can have cancers in the stomach. You can have cancers in the esophagus. You can have cancers in the small intestine, rarely. Those are considered separately, right? So, or here we are focused on the cancers coming in the large colon. So that is the ascending, transverse, descending, sigmoid, and rectum. So those parts of the colon.
And screening, obviously, very important. And there's a lot of information out there on that for the most part. You see ads on TV all the time.
Absolutely. And, you know, the question of screening is also kind of interesting, right? Because, I don't want to talk shop, but, like, you know, and I have to be careful over here because I don't want to overstate anything, you know. It's, you know, Ron, it's actually very surprisingly hard to show a screening methodology, even if it's very good, that it actually in a population makes a mortality difference, right? Like, let's say there's a new blood test or something that can screen for colon cancer. And, you know, just for your information, there is actually a blood test that is in the works for colon cancer.
Okay.
To show that blood test being done to healthy people and those people followed and showing that this actually decreased the rates of colon cancer, and not just that, it decreased the rates of dying from cancer. It's a very hard thing. You know, it's very fraught and very hard. So, you know, the tests which have conclusively shown that have a mortality benefit with colon cancer, screening-wise, are actually pretty surprising, right?
Okay.
So the only ones which have actually shown this is the FOBT, you know, which is the cards, the stool cards that, you know, that are given at a lot of primary cares. Like when you say, hey, I don't want a colonoscopy, and then your doctor sighs, and he's like, okay, how about you do this? You know, why don't you do the stool cards, and you got to mail it in, which is, you know, an ordeal, right? So that was based on, you know, a test called FOBT. This has been supplanted by what we think is the more specific test called FIT, you know, which specifically looks for, like, cancer cells. You know, but these are kind of like not very sophisticated tests, right? They're just looking for essentially blood you know, in the stool from a polyp, right? You know, one of the big breakthroughs in colon cancer was in the 60s and early 70s when they figured out the polyposis to carcinoma sequence in the colon. And what that is that they figured out that, hey, colon cancer actually starts as, you know, this thing called a polyp, you know, which starts inside out, right? So the colon has like roughly seven layers, and then just this, the cells on the outsides, they can have genetic changes in them, which was characterized pretty well at that time, that caused them to form these outpouchings called polyps, right? And these polyps tend to bleed. Okay. And you can catch that bleeding when you use the stool card. So that has very strong evidence, and that clearly is a pretty good screening methodology. The other one which showed a survival benefit was actually the sigmoidoscopy, which isn't done in America a lot, you know. So what is a sigmoidoscopy? Sigmoidoscopy is that, I would say it's like kind of like a cousin of colonoscopy, right? So instead of you taking prep and clearing out all of your colon, you're essentially asked to eat like bone broth or like liquids for the day before. But you don't have to drink the prep, right? So that's okay. That's a big plus, right?
A lot of people say that's a bonus, yeah.
That's a huge bonus. Okay. And then, you know, you go in for the procedure, and then they give you a bunch of enemas, and they clean you out. And then, you know, a doctor puts a smaller instrument, not as big as a colonoscope, and it's more rigid and, you know, easier to kind of maneuver. And this looks for cancer only in the part of the colon starting from the rectum, the sigmoid, and the descending colon. So you're kind of like actually leaving alone most of the colon, right? Like you aren't looking at the transverse colon, you aren't looking at the descending colon. But this was shown that it improves survival. Now, when you come to colonoscopy, it's a little more fraught, you know. Like there's not many high quality studies, but you know, the assumption is that, hey, if sigmoidoscopy is good and that's looking at like half of the colon, so clearly, you know, something that looks at all of your colon would be better, right? A year and a half ago, there's a study. It's called the Nordic study. And that is probably the best data we have for colonoscopy. And, you know, unfortunately, let me rephrase. It did not yet show a survival benefit, but, you know, that may be a function of, you know, how the study was put on, or like how, you know, the patients were treated after protocol, right? I don't want to get into the integrity, but basically what I'm trying to point out is that for now, for the time being, these are the proven screening methodologies that can help us pick up colon cancer early.
He's Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center, 1401 West 12th in Emporia. This is our monthly Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia, and we will be back with more right after this. KVOE Live and Local, welcome back to the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. This is the April edition as we're touching on colorectal cancer with Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist and hematologist with Central Care Cancer Center, located at 1401 West 12th. You can call 342-1117, or you're invited to log on to cccancer.com. Colorectal cancer is our topic this week. We've been talking with Dr. Wazir about, you know, what exactly is colorectal cancer and some of the screening processes. Well, let's talk about prevention and early detection. You kind of touched on this before, Dr. Wazir, but what are some of the risks and symptoms that we may need to watch for?
Yeah, thanks for asking that question, Ron, because I think this is the million-dollar question, part of this talk, you know. So, look, if you're a young person or an older person, doesn't matter what your age you are, there are certain things that your body will do that you cannot neglect, right? Like there are things that happen to you that you should be like, okay, this is an automatic trip to my doctor, right? One of them is that, like, if for no reason at all, your stool changes in consistency or color. So what do I mean by that, right? Look, the exact symptoms of colon cancer depend on where the lesion is, right? If you have a lesion in what we call a left-sided lesion, right? You know, it's not necessarily just bleeding every time, right? You could have a big polyp can cause, you know, like a change in bowel habit in the sense that you get diarrhea. You know, a large polyp can cause diarrhea. Like, and you may have not heard of that, that, you know, like a change of like let's say you're going to the bathroom every day and you had normal kind of stool. And now all of a sudden, you're going to the bathroom like three times a day, right? And there's mucus with your stool. It doesn't look exactly right, right? And this has been persistent. It's been going on like this for like weeks now, right? Or you have noticed that your stool is covered in blood, right? That could be a rectal lesion or a rectal cancer, right? Or you have noticed, you know, the caliber of your stool has changed, you know? Like, you know, your stool was a certain size before and now it's like thin and stringy or something like that, you know, on a persistent basis. You know, like that any of these kind of like changes in your bowel habit should prompt you to, you know, at least talk to your doctor about it so they can screen you for it, right? Now, you know, in opposition to that, like if you have a left-sided cancer, you know, usually, you know, the only kind of thing that you notice is a change in the color of the stool, right? You can have maroon color stools or like greenish-black color stools or blood covered in stool, you know, that's rarer, but you know, you can have all these things. So those are the things to look out for. Or, you know, like if you have anemia, right, and there's no reason for you to have anemia, right? Like anemia is expected, you know, like unfortunately if in women, you know, due to their periods and stuff, they can have anemia. Uh-huh. Right, but like, let's say you're a young man, right, and you're eating a normal American diet, which is mostly meat, right, and you're anemic all of a sudden, right? Like, I mean, that's not something that should be put under the carpet, because you know that could be the first and only sign you'll get for colon cancer, right? So you know, I say this because, like, you know, I have heard about not my patients, but like people I have known in life or acquaintances or like friends of friends who are all under the age of 40 getting diagnosed recently with both rectal cancer and colon cancer, right? And often, you know, like what they're telling me is that for a whole year they had like symptoms of, you know, some blood in the stool, and they just said, oh, you know, this could be a hemorrhoid or this or that. Yeah. And they never put it together, you know. And there's always that element in cancer, unfortunately. And you know, I think in a previous episode, we talked about that in testicular cancer and breast cancer. But, you know, like, even your colon is like a personal part of your body, right? Like, you know, we aren't like the Romans, right? Like, it's not a group activity, you know, defecating or anything, you know. So, I'm not being crass. I'm just, you know, we just have to be open about these sort of things, right? So, these sort of symptoms are hard to kind of like acknowledge and discuss sometimes, you know, and your mind is very good at putting things at ease, that you can kind of like ignore it, you know. That's just the human condition, right? We're good at ignoring things. So, you know, I would say that it doesn't matter what your age is, like as long as you're above the age of, I would say 30, or if you have a significant family history, right? You know, and what I would say is that, like, if you have family history, think 10 years ahead, right? Like, let's say your father, grandfather, or uncle, he got colon cancer at age, let's say 41, right? So yeah, you should be on the lookout. You should be, like, this should be an active thing you should start thinking about by the age of 21, 10 years before, right? Because if you look at the sequence, it takes around seven years from when you get a polyp to getting cancer. Other thing you may want to know about is that, like, if you know about multiple relatives having colon cancer, right, maybe it's worth asking, you know, your cousins or uncles, whatever, is that, like, did they ever get genetic testing for colon cancer? Because look, there are some fairly common syndromes associated with colon cancer, and if you know about them, then you know how to act for them. We've talked about this before too, Ron, but you know, there's this syndrome called Lynch syndrome, for example, right? And in this one, you know, your risk of colon cancer goes up quite high, and then that really changes, like, when you should start having screening and the intensity and degree of screening that you get. There's in families, even in the area, there are multiple families who have FAP, right? And that is, you know, the condition where people have, you know, the first time they get the colonoscopy, there are literally hundreds of polyps, right? They have, and you know, those people, you know, they benefit from you know, preventative surgery, you know, coloprotectectomy, where they remove the whole colon and rectum together, you know, before it turns into cancer and stuff. So, you know, I think these things are kind of important that people keep in mind.
Dr. Ali Wazir, Central Care Cancer Center. This is the Central Care Cancer Center, April edition of the Talk of Emporia. Stay tuned. We are back with more right after this. KVOE Live and Local, this is the April edition of the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. Colorectal cancer is our topic this month, and we're joined again by Dr. Ali Wazir, medical oncologist, hematologist, Central Care Cancer Center, located at 1401 West 12th here in Emporia. For more information, you can certainly call 342-1117 or log on to cccancer.com. And colorectal cancer, our topic. Well, Dr. Wazir, we found out that we have colon cancer. I guess depending on what stage, let's talk about some of the options for treatment of colorectal cancer.
Right. So the way this works is that, like, you know, like you'll have a colonoscopy at the start, and, you know, they'll remove all polyps, and those polyps or lesions that look suspicious, because you have to remember that, you know, like you may have gotten this idea that, oh, hey, polyp is something that's protruding out and easy to catch. But, you know, actually, the one of the worst kind of polyps, which is called a serrated polyp, if you look at a picture of it, there's nothing protruding out. It's just flat, a flat lesion. You know, so that makes the things a little complicated, because, you know, you want someone who sees, who does a lot of, you know, does a lot of colonoscopies. And you also want to make sure that your prep is perfect, right? So that the chances of picking up all these lesions is the highest. But either way, you know, once you get your colonoscopy, at that time, usually you have a biopsy. And the biopsy basically looks at the invasion, right? So the difference between polyp and invasive cancer is, like, invasive cancer, as the name suggests, like, knows how to invade through the layers of the of the intestine, of the colon, right? Depending on this invasion, you get what's called a T stage, right? So that is that, along with, you know, your lymph nodes, kind of like determine your stage of the cancer, right? Depending on how deep the cancer is going into the wall of the colon, right? So the mere size is maybe not that important. What's important is the invasion into the colon, right? And if you have invasive cancer, invariably these patients are then sent to a surgeon for consideration of surgical resection. And this is the standard. You know, there's a small exception, but, you know, we don't need to get into it. But most of the people will end up, if they can get surgery, getting surgery first. And once the surgery is done, then they are usually sent to an oncologist, who basically has to figure out whether there is any role of giving additional chemotherapy. So, Ron, it's kind of interesting, like, you know, the stage ones, you know, like, if you figure out this is stage one, the no high-risk lesion, actually giving chemotherapy is a detriment. Like, if you if you look at the study, it's not like, oh, giving chemo is no harm. Like, the study very clearly showed that giving chemo actually harms the patient, right? So you have to be very careful that you select the right patients, you know, and you know, without getting into the details, like, there's a very strict criteria based on the degree of invasion, how many lymph nodes were removed during the surgery, you know, whether there is cancer anywhere else. But long story short, you know, stage one to stage three, basically this is the sequence. Like, you get your surgery, you come in, and if you're stage two, stage three for sure, everybody agrees that stage three benefit from 3 to 6 months of chemotherapy. And there are only two known chemotherapy. Like, we have many chemo drugs that can help with advanced colon cancer, like stage four colon cancer. But there have been only two drugs that have ever been shown to move the needle in what's called the adjuvant setting. So, Ron, like, adjuvant, we talked about this before, but that basically means that you had surgery and you're being given chemotherapy to kind of mop up these kind of like microscopic disease to increase the cure fraction, right? So only two drugs over this whole 40 years while we have been investigating these things have shown that they make a difference. So that makes my life easy, because I know what drug to give them. So it's just, you know, it's a drug called 5-FU, which for a lot of oncologists is like their favorite drug, and it is mine too. And the other drug, so it's a little weird saying that's my favorite drug. I'm sure the patient's getting it. It's not their favorite drug, but, you know, 5-FU, a very effective drug, and another one is called oxaliplatin. And this drug is given for either 3 or 6 months. It's a rough drug to give, but you know, like it clearly benefits, you know, especially in the advanced colon cancer. So that kind of covers your stage one to stage three. Now for stage four cancer, it gets more complicated. So stage four cancer implies that now it has left the colon and the cancer is not just in the lymph nodes, it has gone to another different organ, right? So even in these people, there's some patients that you can potentially cure. You know, like let's say there's one spot in the lung or one spot in the liver or three spots in the liver and one spot in the lung. Some of these patients, when you select them exactly right, some of them can get either ablations or like surgical resections of these extra lesions along with their primary cancer, and then they can get chemotherapy before or after. And some of these patients will, you know, will get cured, but, you know, this is not the majority. Unfortunate majority, you know, the cancer has already kind of spread, and now the whole game is to kind of give them treatment for as long as possible, maintaining their quality of life with as little detriment to their day-to-day living. Yeah.
All right. Well, very informative as always, Dr. Wazir, but get those screenings taken care of, right?
Yeah, you know, that's why, Ron, I spent the majority just talking about the screening because, you know, we can talk about the, you know, the radiation rectal cancer and the various chemotherapies and how they go and everything. But, you know, the long story short, like apart from the small group that we talked about stage four disease, colon cancer, you know, if you do everything by the book, you know, like the average patient, like if you do everything correctly, they're looking at survival of like 4 to 5 years. Right. You know, and these are selected patients who are like good, you know, younger patients and in better quality. The problem is that you only have a set amount of drugs that work well. And once you kind of run through those drugs, then, you know, then this disease kind of progresses fairly quickly. Right. So, you know, the key is screening. Right. Because you want to give every patient the chance of like a curative kind of. Chance, you know, like, you know, we will push the envelope to get the cure, even if we have to do like surgeries, this and the other thing. But, you know, gosh, like the one thing that people can do is just like, you know, show up with their symptoms earlier, get their screening, get the scot earlier. This thing can change from a nuisance to like something that will end your life, you know, just by when you pick it up, you know. And colon cancer is one of those cancers that it grows slow enough that you can catch it early, right? Like, Ron, this is kind of interesting, you know, like the reason screening doesn't work for many other cancers is that, you know, you can have a very small cancer, right? But if it's aggressive, like by the time it moves, like, you know, like you don't have enough time to catch it in screening. Okay. But colon cancer is the only cancer that you can affect. If you have a good screening program, you will definitely catch it early and catch it in the curable state.
Good to know. Great information from Dr. Ali Wazir, Central Care Cancer Center, with us monthly here for the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia. If you'd like more information on our cancer center right here in Emporia, you need not leave home. They're at 1401 West 12. Call 342-1117 or log on to cccancer.com. Dr. Wazir, thanks as always.
Yeah, thanks, Ron. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Dr. Ali Wazir with us on the Central Care Cancer Center Talk of Emporia on KVOE, live and local.